there. You're listening to the Watson's Daily podcast with me, Peter Watson, on Thursday, the 23rd of November. Today, I am joined by Julia Grossica, who is a Watson's Daily ambassador. Hey there, Julia. How are you doing today?
Hello, Peter. I'm good, thank you. How are you?
Yeah, all good here. You're right.
Yeah.
Sounded like you dropped something there. I don't know. Which story did you pick out today from today's Watson's Daily?
So as promised, I picked out the OpenAI story, but in particular the Guardian story about how the OpenAI meltdown will accelerate the artificial intelligence race.
Yeah.
So what is clear is that Altman's reinstatement was a consequence of staff, financial backers, and loads of Silicon Valley figures coming together to persuade the board to reinstate him and persuade the board that they made the wrong decision. But then also the actual reasons for his sacking are not yet known, and there has been some, you know, rumors that there's the official thing we know is that it's because it's a loss of trust between the board and Altman, but there's also been some rumors with regards to the safety of AI. And I think that's quite a significant issue, because the board's kind of role is to oversee. So actually, let me start from the beginning. So OpenAI is not for profit. Mm-hmm. It's an organization which isn't for profit, but it also has a subsidiary which is for profit. So mm-hmm. the role of the board was to kind of oversee the for profit part of it, but ensure that the goal of maintaining safe AI developments is maintained. So that was kind of the role of the board, so they were overseeing that. So the fact that there's some rumors that they kind of lost trust, and they also are saying that maybe they weren't confident in the way AI was being developed, is a bit worrying, because if this is true, maybe they had some grounding to sack Altman, but they just executed it very wrong. And also, you know, their board is there to ensure that their check and balances are being conducted, and by sacking them, it just demonstrates that Altman has so much power to just come back, and you know, he's just come back with a new board, which is obviously supporting him. So then the question arises, who is actually going to hold him back? Is he now going to be able to just wander off and kind of ignore the safety of AI? But even though he has mentioned before, you know, it's so important to work with regulators to ensure that AI is developed in a safe way. But nevertheless, if maybe this board weren't happy about something, does that pose questions about kind of, you know, the artificial intelligence race? And also the board had some, the co-founder was on the board, but we are not sure what's happened to him. But let's say he does move elsewhere, that could accelerate the artificial intelligence race, because, you know, he has the insider knowledge and I'm sure he has something to give to the competitors. And then also my final point is actually, yes, Altman's been reinstated, but the article also highlights Microsoft has gained a lot from this, because Altman has already said there's going to be a partnership between Microsoft and Altman, which is, I suppose, great for OpenAI, because it means that it's going to have the money, but also it kind of suggests Microsoft will be basically will be able to say a lot on the direction of OpenAI, which is beneficial for Microsoft and kind of gives them not the monopoly, but I guess against his competitors, it really does put them ahead. And yeah, so what do you think?
Yeah, I mean, I think that it's been a when you think that this time last week none of this had happened, everything was good, and to think of what's happened over the last sort of 5 6 days, we're back where we started, minus a board. So I think that what this whole thing so far has shown, and I think more details are going to be coming out, but as the time goes on, I think they're going to conduct an independent investigation or something as well. From what I can see, what this has done is provided, funnily enough, a useful shakeout of the company. It has proved who the real friends are, and who and the real those real friends are Microsoft in the main. And I, like you say, I mean, as you alluded to that, for, as far as I know, in terms of co-founders, it was Sam Altman, Greg Brockman, and Ilya Sutskever. I think that's Sutskever. I think, again, I don't know whether I get his name right, you know, his pronunciation right. Sutskever was the one that stayed on, and he was the one that delivered the news to Sam Altman.
Yeah, a
Now,
little coup.
yes, exactly. So it seems so, but then, you know, that all happened. And then on Monday, Sutskever said he regretted his role in what happened. But I don't know what's happened to him. I don't know whether he's staying. I mean, it sounds like he's out of the board, but is he staying in the company? I'm not quite sure.
Won't be
But
very popular.
no, well, it depends, doesn't it? I don't know. You know, if he was forced to say it and they said, look, we'd get you out as well, but we need you, you know, then not so bad. But if it actually came from him that he thought this, then that would be bad, you know, or certainly bad for him and his future, his continued future with AI, open AI. Although, you know, maybe they could just shut him up by giving him loads of money, and saying you're not allowed to work for a competitor ever again, you know, for instance, they could do something like that. So I mean, I just think that yeah, so this has been a useful exercise, first of all, and showing who's loyal to who. It's also potentially, and you know, I think you were saying this as well, this is almost the next best thing to own for Microsoft to own AI. Although, in fact, it might be even better because there is clearly a very strong bond now. But more, you know, more than that, they may have more influence as a result of what happened, but not have to pay any more money. So it's
And
like,
all yeah, and
yeah.
also the regulators won't be up the like the back.
Yeah, that's I thought you were going to say something else there, but yeah, exactly, absolutely. Yeah, I
Or
yeah,
down their back,
yeah,
isn't it?
yes, yeah.
That's what I meant.
Yeah. So I think that the yes, that's true. It means so they've got all the benefits of being right in there with OpenAI and showing AI how loyal they are and all that, without the hassle of having the regulators breathing down their neck. So I think this is interesting. It also means there's another very interesting article in there that was talking about how this proves if you were there were two sort of schools of thought with OpenAI. Like one is we need to develop it as quickly as possible, and to do that we need money, and to get money we need to make it commercial. And then the other side, which says, yes, we need it, but we've got to do it in the right way. So we need to slow things down and keep it non-for-profit and make it for the good of humanity. Now, what the recent you know, events have done is they've shown that actually the company, you know, include it's all its employees want the commercial side. So it may mean that actually more money is pumped into it and it develops quicker. So So, I mean,
And maybe
obviously.
like the cap gets maybe increased, because you know there's a cap on how much profit OpenAI can make, so it maintains its core value of safety for humanity. But yeah, maybe that will change.
Yeah. So we'll see. But anyway, it's brilliant. And I thought it was quite interesting that they refer to Sam Altman as the Oppenheimer of AI. So yeah, maybe there'll be a film in like, 50 years' time or something
Maybe
about
this
him.
week.
Yeah, that's exactly. So yeah, so there you go. So I think that, yeah, good. And hopefully things will calm down a bit, because let's face it, when I was writing Watson's Daily yesterday and the previous days, it was quite a fluid experience, because new things were just coming left, right, and centre as I was writing it. So it took longer to do, but anyway, that's all good.
So, what's your story to say for the
So
listeners?
right, so I'm going to talk about the autumn
Surprise.
statement. Whee! Yeah, so I mean, normally, so I would say that the headline for me is, it seems like it's the best of a bad job. In that, when you think over the last few years, we've had pandemic, locked obviously, which involved then lockdown, and then we've had, well, Russia in we've had Russia invading Ukraine, and now we've got we've got a whole Israel, Palestine, Hamas, war going on. So this is, they've been through a difficult time. And it seems to me that the benefits, so the unexpected benefits, like the lowering of inflation and the lower than expected public sector borrowing, any kind of wiggle room, they've basically taken that and tried to spread that around, it looks like, to people who need it. Now, in today's Watson's Daily, I purposely used a lot of stuff from The Guardian, right? Because you would expect The Guardian to be pretty down on the whole thing, because The Guardian is more socialist than, say, The Telegraph, which is also nicknamed the Tory graph because of the fact that it is more right-leaning. So I was really quite surprised by the fact that, so what normally happens with these, you get the day after, usually you get the here are the highlight points here, and then here's what it means for you. And then when the here's what it means for you, they normally have average married couple, two kids, average, that sort of thing. So it took a number of different sort of scenarios, and what I found was amazing is that in all the scenarios in The Guardian, that it actually everyone was coming out better, which I found amazing. So anyway, so yes, there are things in there that everyone can pick holes in. At the end of the day, there is not a government that will exist or has ever existed that has made a budget that everyone goes, do you know what? Actually, that's pretty good. Let's all go to the pub and celebrate. It never happens and will never happen, because it is the opposition's job to say, nah, well, they didn't do that right. Well, they didn't give us enough money, and then the perennial, the NHS doesn't get enough money. Now, I think that I love the NHS, right? And I have, I have benefited many times from the NHS. I know people who work in the NHS. However, again, I don't think there is enough money in the world that will satisfy the NHS. It will never happen. I mean, I think that, I know, sorry to sound defeatist here, but it just, under whatever government you have, it's just never quite enough. And it's very, that is just how it is.
I was just going to say, but I think the only kind of thing you can, well, say about the fact they didn't add extra funding for NHS is perhaps it might mean that they won't get as many voters. So maybe some voters were keen on that particular part of the autumn statement, and
yeah,
they were not going to be happy. So yeah, so it means they might not win as many voters over.
It could do, but only if they look at that. For instance, there's, you know, again,
maybe NHS workers.
Yeah, I mean, I you know, I reiterate, this was a study in The Guardian, which usually is just, is, you know, is usually against the government. It's, so it did a number of scenarios. So single low income, single parents, average earner, unemployed married couple with two children, married couple with two children on, and one on a higher income, rich people with no kids, single pensioner on a new state pension, and married pensioners with a state pension and private pension. All of them did better. I was amazed. So I'm not saying, I mean, it's not like, you know, let's all go down to the Ferrari garage and celebrate. I mean, it's not exactly that, but
go to the pub.
That's right. It's more like, let's go and have a packet of crisps sort of thing. I mean, it's not, you know, it's not huge, but it is positive. So, so from that perspective, it seems like it's not as bad as it could have been. I'm also glad that that they didn't do what there was rumours they were going to do, which was cut inheritance tax, because, I mean, I think that would have been a massive own goal, because that seems to be inheritance tax out of all the taxes, well, that and I suppose, you know, income tax, but particularly inheritance tax, is seen as a bit of a rich person's thing, and it would have been a gift to Labour, because Labour could have said, oh yeah, look at those nasty rich Conservatives giving more money to their friends, you know, because they could say, well, you know, inheritance tax is lower, so people who have enough money to pass on, you know, they're benefiting, and that's not fair. So I'm glad that they didn't cut that, because I think that would have been a massive own goal. And, you know, at the end of the day, people who have a lot of, you know, assets to pass on, not necessarily going to be suffering as much as people who have nothing and struggle from week to week to put food on the table. So, so anyway, it went through no great shakes, I don't think. I think that the thing will be is it's trying to make itself more trying to put more of a divide. The Conservatives are trying to put them more of a divide between themselves and Labour. There's that. And just one last thing, I really try to steer clear of politics, because I know politics, does get much more emotive and stuff. But it feels, if I was Lib Dems, I would be quite annoyed, because despite having been in government more recently than the Labour Party, in fact, much more recently than the Labour Party, no one gives them a hope in hell, because it's just between Conservatives, Labour, Conservatives, Labour, Conservatives, Labour. There, no one mentions Lib Dems. So it must be annoying for them. But then, you know, I don't know what to say, really. I mean, it's just interesting to note that whatever
you've
see,
you've just reminded everyone of Liberal Democrats.
Yeah, there we go.
Watch out for the manifesto.
Yes.
Yes, but no, I do agree that they've kind of been less. I think they've appeased maybe more people than usual, because they've not been as conservative as usual, in terms of, like, they didn't even benefit big businesses as much as one would think. So that was quite interesting. And actually, I think I've read an article that bigger businesses actually were complaining, because the business rates that were frozen don't really apply to them. So that actually just demonstrates that they've kind of taken a more all people approach, as opposed to just focusing on the usual capitalism approach, which will be obviously favoured by the public. But I don't know if it's going to persuade the public.
Is it enough? That's the thing. I mean, I don't think this budget is as offensive as it could have been. And, you know, the whole idea is that, you know, it's supposed to win over voters next year. But I mean, there was talk that because this was perhaps more generous than people were expecting, that maybe the government will have an earlier than expected election, maybe in spring next year rather than autumn. But I don't know. I think that sounds pretty punchy to me, you know, at the moment. But you never know. Things could change. I mean, like I say, I have said this before, that in particular, if, and it is an enormous if, the Russia-Ukraine stops and there is a reasonably positive, like, it's not a positive outcome because obviously so many people have died, but, you know, an outcome that people can live with, that could, in it, just on its own, actually, could be a massive boost for the global economy. But it all depends how it might occur. But, you know, things like that, they can happen between now and then. You know, and there's all sorts of things can happen between now and next year. So I just think that
Lib Dems could maybe come back.
They could, they could. Or maybe, I mean, I just don't know. At the end of the day, right now, Labour are way out in front. I mean, it's Labour's, it seems to me, it's Labour's election to lose. That's how far ahead they are. So anyway, we'll see what happens. You know, we'll find out, and obviously we'll deal with it then. But anyway, we'll leave it for there. Leave it there for now. Thank you very much indeed, Julia, for your thoughts.
No worries. Thank you for having me.
No problem. And actually, just to say, this will be the last podcast this week because I'm going to London tomorrow, and I'll be back again with Ralph on the weekend and stuff. But anyway, thank you very much indeed. Thank you very much indeed for listening to the listeners. The podcast will be back again in the next, very soon. Anyway, thank you very much. Bye.
Bye.